It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic, as always, and from ndnation.com, Mike Coffey. As we head into the game of the century, as one of our viewers opined on the site. Ed, I'll start with you. I mean, obviously, this is a big, big, huge game for us. ESPN took a little bit of a shot at us in terms of, you know, how inept we've been against the top five. Clearly, this is, this is Brian Kelly's biggest game other than the national championship against Alabama, I would think. But what are your thoughts on how big this game is and how much of an impact it means in terms of the Brian Kelly era? There's a loaded question.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think it'll define it, but I mean, in a way, it's, I think, one of his tougher challenges, because I think the expectations are that this team should win this game. In addition to Trevor Lawrence, Clemson has some pretty key injuries, especially on defense, that sort of are injuries that supposedly Notre Dame should be able to exploit with their running game. So, in a way, I think there's some pressure on Notre Dame in this game. I don't know if they're going to feel it. We'll find out pretty quickly if they're playing tight or if they're playing loose. But I don't. It's such a strange thing with, you know, Notre Dame had 158 freaking positive COVID cases on campus today. You never know in these football games where, you know, at 5 o'clock when the guys are out in the field and you see the tweets about, okay, who's not even out there, right? I mean, you know, they play this stuff pretty close to the vest, and we might find out that there's some three or four starters that we were counting on that don't even take the field on Saturday. You know, this is sort of a real moving target for these coaches. And there's going to be, 10,000 people there, 11. I mean, it is very different than what we envisioned.
Yeah, it's not the home game we were hoping for, that's for sure. Not only that, but all of a sudden, God decided not to cooperate and has got 70 degrees for us.
That's right. It's going to be gorgeous here.
We got that. But, you know, Coffey, we before we start getting into some of the highlights from last week and talking about some of the keys, there is a sense that Notre Dame is, you know, a little bit of a different edge here. I mean, and we'll get into it as we start talking about some of the play from last week as to what would lead us to believe that we actually do have a shot in this game. But I think surprisingly, the defense is somewhat there and is totally capable of keeping us in this game. Anything else besides that you really think is a differentiator and why we have a shot?
Well,
or are you going to tell me that we don't have a shot at all?
There is nothing I would like more than to describe a million ways where we have a shot to win this game, but my head is telling me that we don't. I mean, Clemson is an elite level football team. Yeah, they're missing some starters and all that. They were missing a couple starters in the championship game a couple years ago, and we got absolutely steamrolled. So I believe it's going to be a low-scoring game. I agree with you that this is probably among the better defenses that Notre Dame has put on the field, and I think they are capable of slowing Clemson down for at least three quarters. I think the problem is going to be the offense. And as well as the defense is going to play coming out, my concern is by the time it gets to the fourth quarter, they've been on the field too much, they get exhausted, they give up a couple late scores, and the game looks a lot more lopsided than it actually was.
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue into this because I'm an offensive guy, so I've got mostly all offensive plays here, if not 100% offensive. But, you know, last week, Ed, we did talk about some of the concerns with Book, and one of them was, you know, his feet and all that. So I do want to give some kudos here because I don't think book pays any attention to us, but in any event, boy, did he look a lot better last week. And certainly this play is one of them on the touchdown. Look at how he's coming straight forward and you know, he's got his feet positioned right. He's coming towards the throw, not kind of easily. He could have easily been leaning back the other way and kind of flung it, but in this case, he's coming straight forward. So, you know, and there, this isn't the only play. I mean, there's a couple others where Book just really, you know, was making all the right moves, and including his ability to pick the right time to get out of the pocket and scramble. But obviously, this is a big key for us, and he's going to need to play outstanding, if not complete, 70% of his passes if we're going to have a shot. It's going to have to be that kind of game for Ian Book.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. I mean, I think he has to – we can't turn the ball over. You know, he can't throw – you know, how we talked about last week, they have just better athletes on the back end, so he can't try and, you know, take that extra second to find an opening. He's going to have to be really decisive and get the ball to guys as they, you know, before they make their breaks. You know, one of the things that Book always drives us crazy is sometimes he's, you know, the ball is out of his hands a second too late, and that, you know, you can get away with that against some
kind of teams, kind of like on the crossing, Clemson. Like the crossing route right here. Same thing. Look how he steps right into this. And he's there. You know, he struggled with that pass all season, it seems like, at least in the early going. And here, in this particular case, I mean, he's got his feet positioned. He's right there. He steps into the throw. He puts it out in front of the receiver. I mean, these are the kind of throws that are going to have to be there if we're going to, you know, find any kind of success against Clemson. As you know, Coffee Sam, there's elite guys now that we're going up against, not guys like Georgia Tech's got, where we've got the edge from the snap of the football. And so – these are the kind of things. But I just seemed, at least last week, Book looked a lot better to me with his feet, with his delivery, with his accuracy, and he seemed to be there, and that's a good sign.
Well, maybe he's peaking at the right time.
There we go.
I think there are a lot of players who are peaking at the right time. I mean, I think there's definitely we've seen improvements over the last couple weeks. I think the one thing Book is still doing, though, that as soon as he feels pressure and he starts to move, he's not looking downfield anymore. He's not going, he's not, so someone could come open. He's not going to see him. And I don't know whether it's because he's relatively small for the quarterback position at like 5'11", 5'11", 6 foot. If you're trying to see over guys who are 6'3", 6'4", and all of a sudden guy comes into your area that's putting pressure on you, you're avoiding him, and you're not, and it makes it even harder to find your target downfield.
It's going to look like we prepared for this show, Coffee, because the very next video I'm going to show is that exact point. He's dropping back here. He feels the pressure. He kind of scrambles out, but in this case, he keeps his eyes downfield, and he hits a guy for a big play. That's the kind of stuff that's going to have to happen.
Absolutely,
next week.
It has to.
He's going to have these kinds of plays if we're going to have any kind of shot. And, you know, again, just as you said, I think the defense is going to be there for us. The question is, are we going to make enough plays on offense to, you know, counter the elite athletes that we're going to face from Clemson? Because it's going to be that kind of game. Now, I think it's there. And the other thing that I think that gives us a shot at this is that it's not just, you know, Ian Book in the passing game. It's this guy right here. And Ed, we saw more of it in Saturday's game. I mean, if you look at his vision and his ability to see the hole and see where it's at and to go, we haven't quite had this at running back. You know, I thought Dexter Williams was a top-notch back. He had that burst of speed, but I don't think he had the vision that Williams has. And time in and time out, Williams has shown this, and I think it's kind of where, you know, this is the kind of thing that can make a big, huge difference. You're looking at, you know, third down and two or second and two. These are the kinds of things where his vision, he cuts it back there. There's nothing there. And all of a sudden he's got 8 yards. And this is the kind of thing that gives you hope that maybe now we get the elitism of a Clemson defense, but you know, this is a top notch back right here. And it gives you some hope.
Well, I think what's always interesting in games like this is, you know, going in, obviously there is a running back on the field that the country knows all about, that is probably, you know, maybe a first round draft choice. I mean, Etienne for
Gotta be
Clemson is dynamite. Yeah, I mean he's just terrific. And he obviously is the key to their offense. I mean, you know, last week, you know, he caught a lot of balls. He didn't have a lot of success running on the ground, but they obviously leaned on him, you know, playing for the first time without Lawrence. And so, but what's interesting to me about games like this is oftentimes it's the guy that, you know, hasn't sort of broken onto the national scene yet. I mean, people who follow college football know that, you know, the Kyren Williams has been sort of a revelation for Notre Dame this year and has been sort of but this could be sort of a breakout thing where all the attention is on, you know, the stud All-American, but he gets outshined by the redshirt freshman who's, you know, on really on the big stage for the first time. It would not surprise me if he is, you know, and he seems to kind of have that certain little something where, you know, he's just young and dumb enough to not let the bright lights affect him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try and, you know, get a couple wheel routes to him or, you know, use him creatively as well, in addition to running between the tackles and making the cuts that you're talking about, Mike. So I think that Kyren Williams could, you know, it would not surprise me if at the end of the game, the storyline is, you know, his real breakout on the national stage and that our defense bottling up Eddie, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, because it is going to be, if we can't effectively run the ball, we're going to be in big, big trouble, because I think that's what's going to free up and open up the passing game for us. One of the things, Coffee, I thought was this kind of play where you get Chris Tyree out there. I mean, he is an elite athlete. He's the kind of guy that ends up going to Clemson, and we got to find a couple ways to get him at least a couple touches, two or three, where he's out on the fringe like that, because I think his kind of speed is what can kind of keep Clemson honest here. But we're going to need all the tricks and nuances of the whatever offensive game we plan we put together. And this will be, you know, there's no doubt about it. Tommy Rees is going to be on a big stage this Saturday, and there's going to be a lot of interest in how he calls this game and what kind of game plan he comes up with, because this is a big time game for a fairly young guy who's having his first crack at a top-notch defense. That's going to be a very interesting story, I think.
This is no doubt his biggest challenge since the bowl game last year when he took over. And I'm not saying that was a huge challenge, but this is several rungs above anything he's seen so far. I mean, this is an elite-level defense. And I really think the advantage Notre Dame has – well, they have a disadvantage and an advantage. The disadvantage is going to be Clemson has the athletes that if they want to say, okay, we don't think Ian Book can beat us deep, so we're going to have we'll have our cornerback single cover these receivers, and we are going to put so much pressure, we're going to bring so much pressure to bear on Ian Book. We're going to sell out against the run. We're going to bank on the fact that they'll go three or four series, three and out, the defense gets tired, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the advantage Notre Dame has is these guys, while talented, are also young. They're young and they're relatively inexperienced, whereas Notre Dame's players may not be, maybe a rung below talent-wise, but they have the experience. They know the tricks, and they can work those tricks to their advantage. So yeah. I think misdirection is really going to help, because if Clemson's defense really wants to go all out and really put pressure on Book and stop the running game, that's a classic situation where misdirection can possibly open up some really, really big plays. I mean, if you're sending a linebacker two on the blitz, and then all of a sudden there's a guy right in that hole, like throwing the ball to the tight end, running a draw play, off tackle, whatever, just taking advantage of their inexperience to have them overrun plays or get out of position and then end up with these large positive plays that can keep Notre Dame in the game against a team that's a lot more talented.
Yeah, no.
And I think our receivers really have to step up. I mean, if there's a group that has to play sort of at, to raise their game, it has to be those guys. In other words, the back shoulder throws, the 50-50 balls, they've got to make those plays because, you know, Ian Book, of course, is important, but he's got to be able to get some production out of those guys, because if it comes down to, you know, he's got Mayer and he's got Williams and he's got no other tools in the toolbox and no other weapons, then I think then the field becomes a lot easier for Clemson's defense to manage. And Tommy Rees gets really sort of his playbook gets kind of truncated. I don't know how good Clemson's secondary is. It sounds like they're fairly young. It sounds like they're fairly small. I mean, you know, they don't have a lot of long guys at the court, you know, there.
Yeah, they're just
gonna
fast.
It's going to be a game of matchups. And
you kind of walked right into it. So again, it looks like we kind of prepared for this, but we didn't. But here's that back shoulder throw you're talking about. And my fear here is this. I think Clemson is going to give us the long ball early on. And I'm afraid that we're going to need to at least air it out early in order to keep them honest, because I think the speed at which Clemson has a corner, yeah, they're smaller, and you would hope that we can get some positioning on these throws in terms of the body. You know, what Claypool is just awesome at was that ability to kind of create space. We're going to need that space with the advantage that we have physically on the outside. The problem with a back shoulder throw is when guys are not respecting the deep ball because they don't view you as a threat. That's where you got to come up with something.
Well, seems like, you know, that's been Tommy and Brian Kelly's sort of scripted first 10, 15 play, you know, deal this year, right? They come out throwing the ball.
Right? Yeah, they do.
They come out trying to sort of say, hey, listen, we know what you're thinking, but we're going to, you know, and again, does it work? Does it work against a team like Clemson? I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me is if that's the deal again, is to try and, you know, but I don't know if they should do that. I actually think they should just come out and sort of just go right at them.
Yeah, just establish a little bit of run. Yeah,
right? And then go to play action.
I kind of agree with you there. The strength is our running, and therefore I think you try and establish it right away. And then if you don't, you know, look, I think the key for Tommy Rees is you might go three and out two times in a row. Don't panic. Stick to the script. Stick to what you have. Go in at halftime and make adjustments if your first half game plan doesn't work. But don't panic and think that I'll come up with something cute because we've been stuffed three and out if the game's 0-0.
Yeah, but that leads right into what Mike Coffey was saying, which I agree with, is you can't have your defense sort of on the field.
I agree.
You've got to string some first downs together. You've got to have a decent outcome in the field position battle. And then the one thing that's so interesting though about Notre Dame that's so different, especially on defense, than what we've experienced in the past, is they can run really competent bodies in and out of that. You know, they're not relying on 11 or 12 guys. I mean, they literally play 20 guys a game on defense and feel really comfortable, you know. So I think they do have a little bit more, they have more depth and they have more ability to sort of bring energy than they have in some past defenses. And I think that's sort of maybe the biggest change from the last time that they played Clemson. As you recall, I know we all think of it as a 33 blowout. But it was a second, you know, it was
10-3 that, deep into the second quarter. Yeah,
you know, and we had nothing when Julian Love went down. You know, we got torched.
Right.
Not that anybody wants to revisit that. But, you know, does anybody think that we're in deep doo-doo if Bracey can't play Saturday or if there's six or seven parts back there. Obviously, some are better than the others. But I don't feel like that there's this huge drop off between, you know, the first four and the next three.
You know, Coffee, one of the things I was going to point out is just Book's ability to scramble and to pick the right kind of times to go, because there's going to be a lot of pressure from Clemson. Now, that first half, I forget his last name, but number three is sitting out. He got targeting. He's out. He's a big time player. So we got a half of not having to face him. And so there might be some opportunities there. But you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, Book's ability to sense when is the right time to tuck and run, and he sees that little angle. I mean, I kind of feel like if Book has negative yardage running the football, that's going to be a real bad sign.
No, that it absolutely is going to be. I think the key matchup in this game is going to be Venables against Rees, and how who adjusts more quickly to stop whom is what's going to make the difference in the game. I think the fact that Clemson's missing a couple guys, I think just announced yesterday that two starters on defense aren't going to even make the trip. And like you said, the one is going to be missing the first half because of the targeting call last week. The first half, at the very least, Notre Dame has to get something done on offense. We can't go into halftime like 10-3. Yeah. That's three scores in the first half with them missing three key defensive starters up the middle. That's just not going to work. And I really would love to see Notre Dame go into the half with at the very least close in or maybe even a lead. That would be fantastic. Yeah. And then take the second half as it comes and hope that that in the chess match we get the last move, because I think that's going to be key.
Yeah. Ed, I'll start with you. What's your prediction? What do you think is going to end up happening here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, 2020 is a crazy, funny year. You know, I think that there's a decent chance that, you know, that we'll I know he's a great athlete, but I think there's a decent chance that we'll make Clemson's quarterback force him into a mistake or two, and that'll be the difference in the game. And if we can play mistake-free football, and by that I don't just mean turnovers, I mean, you know, red zone holdings, red zone, you know, infractions that really, you know, stifle a drive, then, you know, I don't think Notre Dame can win the football game. I think Notre Dame has a really good place kicker. Like you said, the weather's going to be, you know, the weather's going to be no advantage for either team, really. You know, I think Notre Dame can score points on this Clemson team. I think they probably have to score between 24 and 30 points to win. So I'm going to say Notre Dame wins 26-16.
Oh, wow. All right. I have it as 30-27, and I'll even go so far as to say there'll be a huge fourth down conversion that'll make the difference in the game. But I do think we are going to eke it out, and I do expect the win. And I think you're right. I think if it was Trevor Lawrence, I probably wouldn't be saying we're going to win. But I think even though this guy by far has the best arm I've seen, I think in all of my life, I don't know I've seen anybody throw the ball harder than this guy. And if I had to bet, if he gets clocked with a Major League Baseball, he probably throws 94. Mm-hmm. He's got an absolute gun. But I think because he's a freshman, he's in a much more difficult situation. We might get a couple mistakes from him. But, yeah, I'm going to say 30-27. Coffee, what do you think?
Well, I agree with you that Notre Dame's going to have to score between 30 and 24 points to win. The trouble is, I don't think they're going to get there. I think I've been racking my brain trying to come up with reasons that I can back up a pick for Notre Dame to win, and I just can't. I think they're going to lose 31-17.
Okay, fair enough. Well, somebody's going to be right.
Somebody's going to be wrong
on the next show. At least that's good.
When people we can say, discuss that. Oh, I really wish I wish I was wrong, because that's being a wuss. I wish I was wrong, but
I think we're all in agreement that Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, they're in a notch above everybody else. I don't think anybody disputes that.
I would agree with that.
So, yeah, that being the case,
and I would actually say out of those three teams that Clemson is third this year, and possibly a little bit of a distant third.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's probably the best team in college football, is my guess at the moment.
I think it's Alabama, but
I think their quarterback covers a Justin lot Fields of flaws with them.
Yeah, I think he is. Bama, they're tough to beat, but yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Honestly, I think Clemson at full strength is definitely the number one team. I think Alabama's shown some weakness. Ohio State, it's hard to tell. Geez, they just started playing. And I'll tell you one thing. I never want to hear anything about the 13th data point for Notre Dame getting into the playoffs again if a Big Ten team is going to get in playing like 7 or 8 games. So fortunately, we hopefully
it'll be how they do it. Yeah, I think if Ohio State wins big and wins big the whole year, it's going
to
be.
Well, tough. I will say this to Mike Coffey. I think if Notre Dame loses 31-17, that I think they will have turned the ball over, and I think it'll probably be on book. I think he will probably have had a game where Venables figures him out, figures Reese out, or Book just does not play well. I mean, I don't think he has to be perfect for Notre Dame to win, but he does. He definitely has to play well. And I think that Mike Coffey is right that Notre Dame's margin for error against a team like Clemson is pretty small.
You can't lose the turnover battle and win the game. That ain't gonna happen. You might get away with one turnover, but you better be taken away too, because there's no way we're going to lose the turnover battle and win. That isn't going to happen.
You wouldn't think so.
So that being the case, I think Book throws for 70%. We're going to win. And because I think if he's throwing for 70, that means – and I do think you're going to see some quick hits to Mayer. I mean, we got to get him the football. He's the kind of guy that can separate himself if he's got man-to-man coverage.
That's the kind of play. If they're selling out to stop the run and put pressure on Book,
it's got to be
Mayer's going to be open all day, and they got to get him the ball.
They got to get him the ball. He's got to get six throws to him, otherwise that ain't going to make any sense. And so that'll be interesting to see. It's going to be some real interesting analysis of Tommy Reese and how well he does in the situation and how well was our game plan. But yeah, coming down to it, Book's going to have to play really well, and we're going to have to run the football.
The stars usually come out in games like this. And one guy that we haven't mentioned, who sort of had he hasn't had a sort of a flashy year so far, and he's probably due for a pick six or a scoop and score or something. But you know, we've got Kyle Hamilton, and he's a special player, and it would not surprise me if he has a direct impact on the outcome of the game, that either he does something that turns the momentum, or he does something that gets in the head of this young quarterback. Or I mean, these the Mayers, the Hamiltons.
Yeah, he's capable of it.
Kyron Williams, these are the guys that will have to be the playmakers for Notre Dame to win this game. And by the same token, the really difficult thing about playing a team like Clemson is because of their talent level, because of the 4 and 5 stars that they have sort of stacked all over the place, is it could very easily be a coming out party for a receiver that they have that we have no clue who the hell he is right now.
Right.
He's done very little so far, and he catches 9 balls for 164 and 2 touchdowns against us, and that's the ball game, because he clicks with this DJ, with this freshman quarterback, and suddenly a star is born. I mean, that's the thing when you're playing a team with that much talent. These guys sort of come out of the. I mean, did anybody really know who Justin Ross was before that game in the Cotton Bowl a couple 3 years ago? I mean, he was a good player, but he was spectacular against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a game that basically, put him sort of in the talk for, Biletnikoff, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one of the things that's a little bit tricky about playing a team like Clemson is they reload, and they've got these 4 and 5 stars just lurking. You just never know if one of them's gonna just go off on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. All right, well, it'll be interesting once we get on the other side of this and see how we do and how we fare. But it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully it's close so that second game matters, as long as we can get past North Carolina. And even Boston College, I mean, there's going to be 2 games that we're going to have to survive. But anyway, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanek and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for watching this time. What do you know? See ya. All right.
We're